This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. A city looks different when you're standing on a board with wheels.
Black wax caked on a ledge or wheel marks on a wall. These are little breadcrumb trails left by my people.
That's our guide today, Andrew Norton. Skateboarders are his people.
And once you start following these trails, they'll lead you to a turf war between the city and the skaters.
As skateboarding has grown, cities began developing ways to push back on the skaters to prevent them from skating in public places. One defense, skate stoppers.
Some kind of a metal peg or raised metal attachment that is either built into a wall or attached to a wall afterwards that creates a discontinuous edge.
Tony Bricali is an architect from Philadelphia. He's fascinated with how skaters interact with the city.
And then it gets more extreme and more ridiculous where, you know, there are companies that sell things that look like metal seashells and metal crabs that I guess for some reason that's meant to be more aesthetically pleasing. I don't know.
Those aesthetically pleasing skate stoppers are all around the Embarcadero in San Francisco. Tony Bricali wrote an essay called Thanks, Le Corbusier, from the Skateboarders. In it, he contends that Le Corbusier, as the platonic ideal of the modernist architect, with his cool glasses and love of concrete, is the patron saint of skateboarders.
It just turned out that wide open space with nice granite ledges at the edge made really good skateboarding space. And who would have known?
The prime example of modernist landscape architecture that's inadvertently perfect for skateboarding is Philadelphia's Love Park.
The park was designed in part by prominent Philly architect and planner Edmund Bacon.
And in the 80s, when skating took to the streets, the timing was perfect for skaters to claim Love Park as their own.
You know, there was kind of a suburban migration. There was less interest in density. And so places like Love Park were kind of sitting there, not being used.
Philly skate kids would film themselves doing tricks in Love Park. Their videos found their way to the epicenter of skateboarding, California. And Love Park became a destination for skaters.
Even though Love Park was like Mecca, it was never legal to skate there.
I don't think it's legal to skate at Mecca either.
Skaters would get tackled by cops, ticketed by undercovers, or have their boards taken away. And the area was gentrifying. Finally, in 2002, Philly Mayor John Street took the skateboard ban a step further and renovated the park.
They removed all of the granite benches, these great skatable, you know, elements, and they replaced them with Williams and Sonoma-ish looking wood benches that look like they belong in an 1890s kind of park.
They also added ugly wooden pink planter boxes, blocking the skaters from easily skating the granite ledges. Disguised as decoration, the new features were meant to make it harder for skaters to use the ledges or to cruise from one end of the park to the other.
They took away the wide open paved areas and tried to replace them with grassy spaces in between. But the design result was kind of horrible.
People protested the renovations, including Edmund Bacon, the park's chief designer.
Bacon was so against the renovations and crackdown on skaters in his park, he staged his own protest. On October 8, 2002, with the media there, two people propping him up on either side, and a blue bicycle helmet on. A white-haired, trench-coat-clad 92-year-old Ed Bacon rode a skateboard in Love Park.
And now I, Edmund N. Bacon, deliberately skate in my beloved Love Park. Oh. Oh, God! Thank you, thank you, thank you!
The ugly pink planters and William and Sonoma benches still grace Love Park. But so does a plaque memorializing Ed Bacon. And people still skateboard there. And they still get chased by cops.
Love Park isn't the iconic spot it used to be, but skate parks started copying features from its original design.
For Andrew, though, part of the point is to be able to skate in public places, as they are.
And when you land a trick there, it's like a secret victory. You put your own mark on a place.
99% Invisible was produced this week by Andrew Norton, Sam Greenspan, and me, Roman Mars. We're a project of KALW and the American Institute of Architects, San Francisco. Distributed by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. More about this story at 99percentinvisible.org.